I don't know what you all have heard about this gospel reading, this parable of Jesus. But from my experience, commentators have usually said the parable means something like this. The bridesmaids are the church, or us. The amount of oil that they carry is faith. The bridegroom is Jesus, coming at some unknown future time to usher the prepared and faithful into the wedding banquet, which is the kingdom of heaven. It's totally inadequate. It's downright wrong. Hurtful, I think. Let me unpack that a bit. We hear there are five foolish bridesmaids and five wise bridesmaids. The word foolish is fine, but wise isn't, especially coming from the Greek. It means something more like prudent, clever, or even more accurate, shrewd. Five shrewd bridesmaids. Five shrewd women who are on the lookout in their situation to gain the upper hand, to be superior to these five foolish women. We don't know their motives, and we don't have to. Together, they're all waiting patiently for the bridegroom. We know that the five foolish women did not bring extra oil for their lamps. Actually, the word is torches, not lamps, like the medieval period things where it's a stick with fire on top. That's what they were carrying. But the five shrewd women brought extra oil. And they wait, and they wait, and they wait, and the bridegroom still hasn't arrived. And the sun starts to go down and get drowsy. They all lay down and go to sleep. And it isn't until midnight that the bridegroom is seen coming toward them. But at this point, their torches have long gone out. They work on cleaning up the bits of fabric that were soaked to make it alight. But five have oil to douse. Five do not. Naturally, those without oil ask those with oil if they can have some. And they're told, no, go buy some. Feels harsh, especially since they can literally see the bridegroom coming. So the five foolish women go off to find oil. While they're gone, the bridegroom arrives and ushers the five shrewd and unsharing women into the wedding banquet and then closes the doors. The foolish bridesmaids finally get that oil and come back. With the doors closed, they politely knock. And the groom looks at them and says, nope, I don't know you. Then he closes the door and goes back to the party. Which I always think is a little bit odd, because the women are here to celebrate the bridegroom's marriage. They wouldn't have been some rando wedding crashers. The bridegroom should have known them. They were either his friends or his spouse's friends. But then we're at the end. And after all of that, the apparent moral of the story is this. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. What? Keep awake? Is that for this story? It doesn't seem right. All of the bridesmaids fell asleep. It's actually like the one thing that they all have in common. And yet one group is rewarded, and one group is punished. And while we're at it, I'm not sure I buy that the women were foolish for not bringing extra oil. How many of you would pack an extra jug of gas when you went to a wedding in case the wedding venue suddenly changed and was 200 miles in another direction? Or do you take a cooler of food with you when you go to visit someone down the block? just in case they're delayed for, well, I don't know, a day, and you need something to eat right away? Of course not. So why were the foolish women foolish? It's not because of oil. I think they're foolish because they left. Somehow, they believed that they alone, without their torches, weren't enough. They were only good enough for their friend's wedding if they had a role. We all do this too. Often one of the first questions we ask another person when meeting them is, what do you do? But as much as what you do is important, it's not why you are worthy of love. It's not why you deserve dignity. It's not what makes you a person. Wake up. You are God's beloved simply because you are. The shrewd women. They were foolish too. Now they were wise because they stayed, but they were foolish for thinking that in sharing what they had, in risking not having enough, that they would become less lovable, less welcome, less important. We fall into this trap too. We're not our stuff. We're not our clothes or our cars or our houses. We came naked into this world with nothing, and God cherished us. Wake up. You are God's beloved simply because you are. The poor bridegroom. Maybe he was embarrassed about being late. Maybe inside he was so scared that people were showing up at the wedding just for his wife. Maybe he worried that no one came to the wedding to celebrate him too. Would people be mad at him because he was late? Or even worse, would people bail, realizing that he wasn't worth waiting for? And he's foolish too, for thinking that he's not lovable, not loved, not worthy in his own right. And to compensate, he shuts out people that care for him and want to join in his celebration to avoid the risk of getting hurt. I know I've been guilty of that at times in my life. I'm sure that we all have. Wake up. You are God's beloved simply because you are. The bridesmaids and the bridegroom are all operating from a place of scarcity, where there isn't enough to go around, not enough love, not enough purpose, not enough relationships. Sometimes we're the foolish women. Sometimes we're the wise women. Sometimes we're the bridegroom. I've been all of them, and I'm sure I will be again. And to that we are told, wake up. Wake up. Keep awake. Stop this dream of inadequacy. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. You are loved and cherished simply because you are. You don't need to prove anything to anyone. And when we wake up to this truth, the story plays out so differently. The kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids waited expectantly for the bridegroom at a wedding banquet. Some brought extra oil, some didn't. The bridegroom was delayed. He had no way of contacting everyone. But he knew that this day was as important to everyone invited as it was to him. He'd apologize for being late, but already knew that people would just be happy that he got there. With all the waiting, the women fall asleep against each other. And when they wake at midnight and realize the bridegroom is near, five realize that their oil had run out. So the five who brought extra shared, knowing that they were never going to need all of the oil that they brought for the short distance the bridegroom was coming. And as the bridegroom approached, he heard cheers, and he saw 10 bright torches lighting his path. Smiling, he invites everyone into the wedding banquet. I want to tell you now a different parable about the kingdom of heaven, a story told in a different way. This one is a poem. It's a poem written by Jay Holm, who is a transgender poet, performer, educator, and fellow Anglican. It's part of the Church of England. And it's called Jesus at the Gay Bar. He's here in the midst of it, right at the center of the dance floor, robes hitched up to his knees to make it easy to spin. At some point in the evening, a boy will touch the hem of his robe and beg to be healed, beg to be anything other than this. And he will reach his arms out, sweat damp and weary from dance, and he'll cup the boy's face in his hand and say, "My beautiful child, there is nothing in this heart of yours that ever needs to be healed." Once we wake up, these two parables tell us the same thing. Be you. You are loved just as you are. You don't have to do anything. That is the kingdom of heaven.